This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Syria, to Idlib province, to a success of a strike on a leader of the Islamic State. New York Times reporting, President Biden said that the leader of the Islamic State died during a raid by U.S. Special Operations Commandos. I go immediately to my colleague Bill Rojo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleague Tom Jocelyn and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. Bill, a very good evening to you. His name was Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Qurashi. He was said upon his death to be the leader of the Islamic State. Is that all confirmed? Is his death confirmed? Is there a martyr tape? What do we know about the organization's response to this? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yes, well, first, we do know that Qureshi is the emir of the Islamic State. They announced his appointment to that position after the U.S. killed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the first emir of the Islamic State, in 2019. He was killed in a similar raid in a similar area, or close by, actually. The U.S. Government, President Biden, announced his death. I have confidence that he has indeed been killed. The U.S. generally doesn't make announcements like this without being certain. We do have information. He used to be in U.S. custody at Camp Buka. He was detained when the U.S. occupied Iraq up until 2011. He probably was released sometime in 2009. So we would have DNA and other fingerprint and other evidence for him. We know what he looks like. The Islamic State hasn't made an announcement. I don't expect them to do so for days, if not weeks, or even more. Very likely they'll wait to appoint his successor to make that announcement. But I have a high degree of confidence that he's dead, given the high degree of confidence that the U.S. military and President Biden, you know, it's hard for them to come out and make a statement like that and be so wrong. So my guess is that they checked all the boxes to ensure that it was indeed him.
He was living with his family in Idlib province. What is Idlib to the war on terror?
Idlib is a province in northeastern Syria, and it's essentially a safe haven for various jihadist groups. Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which the U.S. State Department still calls a part of al-Qaeda. There's a bit of a split between al-Qaeda and HTS, but there's disagreements, but there's questions about where it sits in the al-Qaeda hierarchy. But it controls a chunk of the territory, a large chunk there. It's protected by the Turks. So this is again, a safe haven in northeastern Syria, where the Syrian government has not been able to reassert control, primarily because, well, HTS has a strong military presence there, tens of thousands of fighters. There's other groups that it's allied with. There's an al-Qaeda group known as Haris al-Din, which often squabbles with HTS. And it has thousands of fighters there. And the U.S. has killed senior al-Qaeda and Islamic State leaders. Again, the previous emir of the Islamic State, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was killed there in the fall of 2019. And again, in an area very close by to where Qureshi was killed.
Qureshi, leader of ISIS, associated with the massacres and brutality and atrocities against the Yazidi people of some years ago. But I'm keen on what's happened most recently. A large raid on a prison holding ISIS members in Kurdistan. Can we link that Kurdistan prison raid with this attack, Bill? Do we think that Qureshi ordered it?
I had read somewhere, and I can't recall where, that the U.S. had intelligence on Qureshi's location sometime in mid to late December, and they were working out the details of conducting a raid to get him. So that would be before this prison raid. I would suspect that. So it's hard to relate one to the other. Perhaps it became imperative to conduct this raid on Qureshi after that incident occurred at the Al-Sina prison, where it looks like hundreds of Islamic State fighters have been freed. A couple hundred were killed during the fighting there. But that's certainly worth it for the Islamic State. It got itself back in the news. It boosted the morale of its organization by releasing prisoners. And Qureshi would no doubt have a hand in approving an operation of that magnitude, particularly given the state of the Islamic State in both Iraq and Syria. They are an underground insurgency organization at this moment, a border guerrilla force. They don't openly control territory as they did up until 2019. So to commit resources like that, I'm certain it would have to go up the chain of command and Qureshi would have to sign off on it. But it's hard to link the raid in the prison directly. But who knows? It's certainly possible.
There are civilian casualties. It's fog of war right now. Details are emerging. Collateral damage includes the death of civilians, including mentioned in the reporting children. But the larger story, Bill, about how ISIS works, eliminating its head, what does that mean for the command and control of ISIS?
Yeah, and real quick on the women and children, it appears those very likely would be his family members. They, you know, he's going to live with his family. But what does his death mean to ISIS? Well, this is a tactical victory for the United States and the allies. Qureshi had a $10 million reward for information leading to his capture and prosecution by the U.S. State Department's Rewards for Justice program. He was responsible for some heinous crimes, including the Islamic State's takeover of Iraq and Syria, as well as the persecution and genocide against Yazidis in Sinjar in western Iraq. And again, he's leading the Islamic State's global organization. It's good that he's taken out, that if raids like this are necessary. But the reality, again, it's a tactical win in a war where we are in a period of suffering a strategic failure. The U.S. is disengaging from all theaters. A counterterrorism raid hurts the Islamic State. It forces them to deal with succession. That's no small matter. It forces them to deal with security for all of its leaders. Again, no small matter. They have to check their communications. They just got to deal with personal security issues. They got to take everything far more seriously. But in the end, the Islamic State, it's a large organization. It's been fighting for 2 decades now. It has a deep bench of leaders, and his successor has no doubt already been chosen. It's just hasn't been made official. We've seen jihadist groups lose senior leaders in the past. Abu Musab al-Zak, Zarqawi, the head of Islamic State, or Al-Qaeda in Iraq, he was killed. He was replaced. His successors, Abu Ayyub al-Masri and Abu Omar al-Baghdadi, they were killed. They were replaced by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. He was killed. He was replaced by Qureshi. The U.S. killed Osama bin Laden. He's replaced by Ayman al-Zawahiri. And these groups are thriving in some theories. They have setbacks, but they remain coherent organizations in control of their global organizations. So it's, it's a good thing that he's dead, but we can't say that this is a strategic defeat for the Islamic State.
Al-Qaeda looks to be growing rapidly, especially in Africa. Is ISIS also growing in Africa, in the Middle East, and across the Ummah?
Yes. So the Islamic State, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa and Sahel, both the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda are growing in both of those theaters. The Islamic State is also growing in the Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, and countries like Mozambique. These are some of these areas they've subsumed. They've taken over Al-Qaeda's network. Some of them, like the Congo, is sort of a new theater for the Islamic State. Al-Qaeda also is having significant success in theaters they've been in for 2 decades, like Somalia. Look, we could flip a coin and say, is Mali going to fall to jihadists? Is Somalia going to fall to the jihadists, to Al-Qaeda next? Who knows? But both of these organizations, the U.S. disengagement from all theaters is that's the lifeblood that these groups need. The U.S. is the one that has the most capabilities in defeating these organizations. And without a U.S. presence, a counterterrorism raid here or there, this is what these groups will pay the price in order to have success.
Bill Rojo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.